Cheryl Parrish reading Keeper of the Ways. Indian women in southwestern Ontario have long been important keepers of the ways of native language and storytelling, of religion and ceremonies, of dance, of art and handwork, and of traditional crop growing and wild plant gathering. Her handwork has often been the most visible representation of native culture to the world. We see her beadwork, baskets, quilts, leatherwork, corn husk work, and traditional regalia. Being a keeper has meant preserving and reviving native ways. This has been a constant struggle as the culture has been confronted and repressed by European institutions in Ontario. Emily Nicholas, an elder of the Oneida Reserve and a corn husk worker, remembers her experience in residential school where speaking a native language was forbidden and where living conditions were oppressive. Lillian Williams, a bead worker from the Chippewas of Sarnia, experienced confusion about her identity as soon as she entered non-native society. In addition to the impact of religious and educational institutions, the native way of life has been altered by the historical land acquisitions by Europeans and by government control. Keepers of the ways have decreased in numbers. Some traditions have been completely lost in some communities. While some skills were lost, others were changed. Glass beads from Czechoslovakia changed the look of beadwork. In some cases, such as quilting, native women learn new skills, bringing to it their own sense of color and design. For many women, the revival of powwows stirred greater awareness of their traditions. Some, like Mary Whiteye, a bead worker at Morivian-on-the-Thames, came to it as a child. Others, like Cheryl Snake of Muncie of the Thames, came to it as adults. Traditional skills have been maintained in some families, handed down from mother to daughter. Linda Elijah is being taught the art of black ash basketry by her mother, Katie Sickles, one of the last of the basket makers in this part of Ontario. Linda's daughter Janet is beginning to learn as well. She has also written an award-winning essay on the work done by her grandmother and mother. Others learn their skills and traditions from significant elders. Bead workers Carolyn Oliver and Jean Stonefish both learned from elders. Revival of lost customs and skills has come from a cultural resurgence which has been fueled by the desire of individuals and communities to hold on to who they are. Native language teacher Mercy Dockstetter works at Standing Stone School on the Oneida Reserve and sees language preservation and acquisition as the center of the culture. At Namurand Friendship Center in London, Dorothy Kennedy teaches native language classes to adults. Sweetgrass Enterprises supports the efforts of language teachers and the increasing demands for instruction by its program to develop materials for language curriculum. At Morivian of the Thames Reserve, a highly successful project to revive the cultivation of Indian corn was established. Arnett Timothy, the project's founder, says they came to the proposal by combining the need for economic development and the desire to do work that flowed from the history and identity of the reserve. Both on and off reserves, programs and centers exist as resources to the community. At Walpole Island, the cultural center is multi-purpose. It serves as a source of supplies to artists and craftspeople, as well as an outlet for workers to market their work. They have a collection of written and audio-visual material on Native peoples. A museum area to exhibit artifacts and current works is currently being developed. To facilitate a sharing of skills within the reserve and with other communities, they offer frequent workshops. In London, Namurand Friendship Center offers a wide range of programs to meet the needs of urban Indians, as well as working in cooperation with area reserves. There is heavy support from women in planning and attending the Native Language Program, workshops on traditional medicine and art, and at powwows and feasts. One of the major annual events is the Art Festival, held each May. Rosemary Albert has been one of the organizers. In all of these individual and community efforts, Native women play a significant role. They are filling the classes and workshops, are producing both quality and quantity in handwork, and are the hearts of many programs. Arnett Timothy shares her view. But conditions are often difficult for the keepers. Materials are not easily accessible. Emily Nicholas finds it hard to get husk due to modern agriculture methods in which the entire corn plant is harvested, leaving the fields barren. In the old days, stalks were left standing in the fields. Her age also makes it difficult for her to do the physical work required to gather the husks. For Katie Sickles and Linda Elijah, a black ash basket makers, the problem is finding mature black ash trees. There's little black ash in this area, and they must receive permission from landowners or other reserves to cut them. Sweetgrass, another material used in basketry, was once plentiful in this area, but has disappeared due to agriculture and urbanization. Denise Beeswax is thankful for the gift left by her grandmother. For bead workers like Audrey Wilson, Cindy Sands, and Carolyn Oliver, it is the cost and availability of good quality beads that can limit their work. Still others have a desire to learn and have no one to teach them. RD Crafts, a Toronto-based organization, is providing funding for craft workshops of 20 or more. They will cover the cost of materials and the instructor's fee. They are also compiling a list of all natives involved in the arts to establish a network. For other women, such as Susan Reitman of the Chippewas of Sarnia, they must juggle the demands of education and jobs outside of Native society. Susan uses her beadwork and leatherwork to help her stay grounded with herself and her Native identity while she is taking training with computers at the community college. Balancing her time is most difficult. While there is much movement in southwestern Ontario toward reclaiming their heritage, Native women have expressed the urgency of holding on to the treasures that exist in their history, culture, art, and within themselves. They are holding on for their own sakes, for that of their people, but mostly for their children. The beauty of their work is their legacy to their children.
Yeah, how are you supposed to make? Well, actually, I cut mine down to half of that.
Yeah.
You've got your little ways to hurt me, you bastard. Let me read yours. Was it the 33-year-old pedestrian who got a broken leg?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wasn't sure about that.